themes that we've been looking at the last few weeks continue. We bring our liturgical year to a close next week with the Feast of Christ the King. So we continue looking at last things and end times. And today our readings are a reminder that we are called to build God's kingdom. We're not called to maintain it. We're called to build. And sometimes that means, all the time, that means taking a risk. It means I'm going to be called out of my comfort zone. It's easy to maintain. It's easy to take what I've been given and simply keep it. But when we do this in our spiritual life, when we do this in so many times in our businesses, in our farms, in our schools, in our towns, in our nations, when we do this with our parishes and with our faith life, everything becomes just kind of blah. It becomes stagnant. Our readings point the way to avoid this in our lives. In our first reading, we have from wisdom literature from the book of Proverbs, we're shown a virtuous, worthy woman. Her value is worth so much more than rare gems. What is it that makes this woman worth so much in the eyes of her husband? It's how she gives herself to her task, holding nothing back, not trying to maintain the status quo, but she brings good, not evil, and not only to her family, but to all of those around her as well, the poor and the needy. She is industrious, versatile, trustworthy, steadfast. And at this time when this was written, society was really run by men. And this woman takes charge of her family, building God's kingdom through strengthening that family. But she doesn't hoard the family wealth. She is generous with those who are not so fortunate, reaching out to others. But she just doesn't leave it in the family either. She takes a role in the public life. She possesses the wisdom that flows from true fear of the Lord. And this gives her so much more than charm or passing beauty could ever give. What she holds on to is eternal, and she gains more by giving away than by trying to hoard. This is really one of the paradoxes that we have in our lives. And this is what the gospel shows us. These three men are all given a certain amount. A talent was a huge amount of money. A couple of years at least of salary. And so one comes in and he receives five. Another receives two. The third receives one. He still is receiving a huge amount of money. They're entrusted with the master's possessions. And then he goes away. They don't know when he will return. But we're told after a long time he comes back and he calls them in. The one that had been given five comes in. He has five more for his master. The one that had been given two comes in. And he has two more for his master. But then the one that had received one comes in. He had refused to risk. He had just gone out and buried it. He tried to hoard it. He tried to keep it. And for that he is condemned. Take his one and give it to the one with ten. And then this servant is thrown out into the darkness where there is wailing and grinding of teeth. The master's judgment will come sure and swift. God creates us without our help. He created us without our input, but he will not save us without our help. The money in the parable belongs to the master. Our lives are not our own. We've been given so many gifts and so many talents, but our lives belong to God. We've been purchased at the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. These readings continue that theme that we had of last week of preparedness, but today they show us how to prepare. We see the first two servants taking their talents and going out and getting to work immediately, doubling what they had been given, taking risks, investing. The third taking this talent that he had been offered and doing nothing. In the spiritual life, doing nothing preserves exactly that. In fact, that is how we lose what it seems that we might have in the first place. We are called to build God's kingdom. You see, God doesn't judge as we do. He's not looking for material success. He's looking for good and faithful servants. We are given special gifts, and at the very core of it is this fear of the Lord, the source of wisdom, not a fear that paralyzes, but a fear that helps us to recognize God in our lives, to recognize the source of all the gifts, all of the talents that I have. They're not mine. They are gifts from God. And whatever those talents may be, we're called to offer a return to Him. Not in a competition with each other, but in ways that maximize our return. The one who had received 10, he was not in competition with the one who had received, or the one who had received 5, is not in competition with the one who had received 2, or with the one who had received 1. They are praised, the first 2, for being industrious. They are praised for following that example of who God is, because God Himself is a gift. The Father giving Himself completely to the Son. The Son giving Himself completely to the Father. And that relationship between the two is the person of the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, God is simply giving. He asks us to give in return by living lives of gifts for others. Even if we become destitute materially, we can be very successful spiritually. By human standards, look at Christ's life. It was a failure. He was condemned by the Roman leader, by the government, put to death. The religious leaders of the time thought he was a fraud. His hand-picked disciples, save one, abandoned him at the time he needed them the most. By almost any measure, humanly speaking, when he was walking the earth, he failed. But in the eyes of God, he was rich beyond measure. And we continue to bask in that richness ourselves some 2,000 years later. And he shows us how to live our lives, not to be takers, but to be givers, conforming our lives to God's, living in this paradox that the more we give, the richer we become. As sinners, we are easily confused. We lie to ourselves. We try to fill ourselves with what we think is His life, and then we try to hold on to it, thinking we will conserve it. But it, just like sand, it'll just run right between our fingers. It's gone. We become empty. So how do we live this paradox? We have to find ways to give of ourselves. Concrete ways. Not just saying that I want to, but what am I going to do? Have you ever considered volunteering with CCD? Becoming a lector, a Eucharistic minister, an usher? Ah, come on. I'm not good enough. I don't know my faith 110%. How can I take on a role of leadership? God doesn't wait until we're complete and finished. He calls us where we're at. How about singing in the choir? Oh, come on, you haven't heard me sing, Father. Yeah, you've heard me sing. It doesn't matter. We need choir members. So many ways to become involved. Helping with funeral dinners. Getting involved with parish events, parish festivals when they come up. Taking on a role. Not waiting necessarily to be asked, but find a way to get involved. What about your witness? Do you pray before meals? I know many, many people pray at home before their meals. But how often do we pray in a restaurant? Just that simple sign of the cross. As we sit down in public to a meal, it's such a powerful statement to a world that is very desperate. But what about our homes? If someone walks into your home as a visitor, can they tell just by looking around that that is a home of a Catholic Christian? Crucifixes, artwork, other things on the wall, a Bible. Are there things there that point to who we are? Or is it sterile? These are just a few ways that we can truly become involved, that we can truly find ways to give of our life, to give of our faith, emptying ourselves of our pride, emptying ourselves of our ego, so God's grace can fill us, allowing His grace to grow 20, 30, 60 fold. In doing this, one day, when we come to that eternal banquet, we will hear those words that we so desperately desire. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy.